very important for us devotees in Krishna consciousness, because it describes to us our prime process of spiritual advancement. Lord Chaitanya says that his spiritual master encouraged him to totally get into the chanting of the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada writes something very interesting. One who is unfit to chant the holy name of Krishna but thinks that the holy name is different from Krishna and thus takes shelter of Vedanta philosophy in order to understand him must be considered a number one fool, as confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, such a devotee thinks, I will understand Krishna much better by studying literature than by chanting his holy name. And such a devotee is not very advanced, really. A person who always chants the holy name of the Lord, however, is already beyond the ocean of nations. And thus even a person born in a low family who engages in chanting the holy name of the Lord is considered to be beyond the study of Vedanta philosophy. In this connection, the Srimad Bhagavatam states, Aho patasva pachoto kadiyam yajjvagrivatate namatupyam tatepastapaste juhu shashnuraya Brahmanuchunamagrinantiyete. If a person born in a family of dog eaters takes to the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, it is to be understood that in his previous life he must have executed all kinds of austerities and penances and performed all the Vedic yagyas. Then it continues, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says, I can only summarize really because we have so little time. The holy name and the Lord are identical. One who is completely free from the clutches of Maya can understand this fact. This knowledge, which is achieved by the mercy of the spiritual master, places one on the supreme transcendental platform. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a fool because prior to accepting the shelter of a spiritual master, he could not understand that simply by chanting one can be relieved from all material conditions. But as soon as he became a faithful servant of his spiritual master and followed his instructions, he very easily saw the path of liberation. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must be understood to be devoid of all offenses. The 10 offenses against the holy name are as follows: to blaspheme a devotee of the Lord, to consider the Lord and the demigods to be on the same level, or to think that there are many gods, to neglect the orders of the spiritual master, to minimize the authority of scriptures, to interpret the holy name of God, to commit sins on the strength of chanting, to instruct the glories of the Lord's name to the unfaithful, to compare the chanting of the holy name with material piety, to be inattentive by chanting the holy name, and to be attached to material things in spite of chanting the holy name. So then Lord Chaitanya gets into describing that in this age of Kali, the chanting is really the prime means of attaining success in spiritual life. And continues instructing everyone about the glories of the holy name. He describes how the chanting transformed him into an ecstatic human being, or ecstatic being, and so on. Now, so we have read these verses, I think many of you have read them before. If not, you can read them. They are in the Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 74 and onwards. I feel it is good if we just concentrate on the essence of this part in the Caitanya Charitamrita. Lord Caitanya describes that there is a common misconception that you look for God everywhere but ignore him in his holy name. The holy name, Lord Caitanya argues, is in this Kali Yuga the direct manifestation of the Lord. Now you must know that in every mantra which you chant, there is a certain, let me say, transcendental secret. The secret is that the one who obtains a mantra during initiation will spend his life to realize the personality of the mantra in his life. By initiation we get the seed of the mantra, and then throughout our lives we are really involved to try to find the personality of the mantra. I could give you a simple but not a very good example. Let us say during initiation you get let me say a person hears about another person, and he becomes so attracted to this personality that he wants to find it. Like we might hear the name Natasha, and then we might like to find out, after having heard a little bit more information, who is this person? We might like to meet this person face to face. This is what happens in the mantra knowledge. You are getting the mantra and you really would want to find out who is the person of this mantra. Remember the example of Gop Kumar. Gop Kumar got initiated at the sacred valleys of the Govardhan Hill in the Gopal mantra. Now the rest of his time, really, the rest of his spiritual life, was engaged in searching out the personality of this Gopal mantra. And when he chanted it in complete knowledge from the mantra, Madan Gopal manifested himself and gave him a very warm embrace. It is very nicely explained how Gop Kumar saw the Lord coming at the Spitze, at the peak, at the front of all the other cowherd boys, and he chanted Gopal, and Gopal saw him and ran towards him, and in their mutual embrace, gemeinsame Umarmung, they fell on the ground of Braj, wetting the ground with tears of transcendental ecstasy. In this work, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where this particular meeting of a devotee with the Lord is described, we hear other stories of devotees who also chant this 10-syllable Gopal mantra, and who, after a long journey through many complicated ablenkungen and diversions, finally meet the personality of this mantra. Here we hear that the Hare Krishna mantra, which all of us chant, actually is identical with Radha and Krishna. And we need to ask ourselves the question, when will we meet Radha and Krishna in the form of this holy name? Please do not understand the mantra as many, let me say, esoteric circles do. For instance, they attribute to the mantra a certain potency and feel that the mantra exhausts itself within this potency. It is described that there are three things which are wonderful in this world: the money means a jewel which can focus a certain planetary influence into your body and help you to overcome diseases. This is very inconceivable, isn't it? Do some of you have jewel rings on their fingers? You have one. You might. It's a jewel ring which takes especially the influence which you need to be a happy, well-rounded, dynamic individual. And it seems to work a little bit, at least. One never knows 100%, but it's something very mystical if you consider. You have a stone, and all of a sudden you put it on a certain finger, not another finger, and then all of a sudden, Haribol. The second thing which is inconceivable is the work, the effect of an oshadi. Oshadi means an herb. You take a herb and somehow the herb, in connection with your bloodstream, corrects physical weakness which was always there. If you go to think about it, it's quite inconceivable. And the third inconceivable thing is the mantra. But if you would think that the potency of the mantra exhausts itself in the effects which we have described, medical herb or some favorable planetary influences which becomes focused on you, then your understanding is incomplete. The mantra's inconceivable nature really is that it can deliver you Krishna and you can develop love of Godhead. It is described by Lord Chaitanya, when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who's very dear to him, he's agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs and cries, becomes agitated and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. This indicates that a person, just by chanting the holy name, comes to the stage of Baba, where the Lord reveals himself, and when he chants the holy name, he really has a lot on his tongue. This is what we are discussing at the present moment, that by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the personality of the mantra, in this case Radha and Krishna, become revealed to the devotee, who, due to the contact with Shri Radha and Krishna, becomes totally transformed and even laughs and chants like a madman or madwoman, dancing, nrityati and lokabhayaha, and is not afraid of outsiders and what they think. So the question which we should ask in the remaining part of our lecture is, how can we come to a state of chanting where we really feel the Lord's presence in the holy name? I really feel if we do not consider this in our lives, our chanting will become automatic after some time, dry and tasteless, and it will then turn into the state which many devotees suffer from, an extremely offensive kind of chanting which does not at all give them spiritual satisfaction and spiritual advancement in their life, but which on the contrary makes them more attached to material things. I do not know if you know, but if you chant with offenses the holy name, you will not be able to get attachment to Radha and Krishna, but an opposite effect happens. Your attachments to the material world will continue and you will remain a Kanishta Adhikari, a new devotee, although you count many years of spiritual practice on your account. It's a very serious subject matter. And really, what is necessary for us to come to the state of Namaparat, from the state of Namaparat to Namabhasa, where the Lord partially reveals himself, is a change in our mentality. We must actually begin to understand that the Lord is in His holy name, and that it is our duty to focus our whole attention on the practice of the chanting. We have not many more practices in Krishna consciousness. If you go to think about it, our practices are basically all revolving around the holy name. We also understand the moment someone stops chanting the holy name, that generally the experience is that he or she will not be able to feel comfortable in Krishna consciousness for a longer time. Chanting the holy name is really the practice which gives life to our spiritual life, and if it's not there, our spiritual life becomes dull and later deathless. So I would like to give you a little story which I have heard in my childhood as an illustration for this change in mentality. And it's a story which is personally very important for me and my spiritual growth, and I hope you can appreciate it. It's a story of the star child. Once there was a star child. Yes, on one frozen winter afternoon, two woodcutters went through a forest which was very, very cold and snowy, and they found a little bundle underneath a bush. They looked, and when they opened the bundle, which had blue cloth and yellow stars, they found a little baby. So one of the woodcutters said, "This is, let us leave it in the forest. We are poor. We have already, I have already three mouths to feed." But the other woodcutter said, "No, I will take charge of this little star child." He took the child with him, and when he came home, he gave it into the hands of his wife and said, "Please take it." And the wife said, "No, no, 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 no. We have already four children and not enough to feed them. We can't take them." But the woodcutter said, "Please, my dear wife, this baby is totally dependent on us. If we put him back into the cold forest, he will suffer and die." So after some time, the wife decided, "Okay, I will take charge of him and accept him as my own child." This child, which we will refer throughout the story as the star child, and you will see why at the end of the story, grew up and became very handsome, sehr hübsch. He had a yellow hair and a fair complexion, and was so beautiful to look at that many people in the village, it was a very simple village, could not take their eyes away from the star child. However, the character of the star child was evil, bösartig. When there were beggars coming into the village, they would never come again, because the star child would take stones and threw the stones at the beggars. Once a woman came. She had her feet were bleeding from walking for a long time through the village, not the village, the forest, and she came to the house of the woodcutters, and before she could even open it, the star child came and started to throw stones and then rotten fruits at her. But the woman did not really care for him. She said to the woodcutter, "Can I speak to you in private?" The woodcutter immediately said, "Oh, no." And moved the star child away and said, "Yes." And the woman said with a strange expression, this child which I have watched now for a day seems to be my own child. She explained many secret things which I cannot tell you right now, but then she said, in the winter night I had to put him underneath a bush, and when you found him, did you find a blue cloth around him with yellow stars? Yes, said the woodcutter. Fair lady, this your child? Yes, she said. And then the woodcutter called his adopted son. Come, your mother has come. And the star child looked at the mother and said, you are so poor and so ugly. Even if you are my mother, run away. And he started to attack his mother. The mother grabbed his feet and bathed his feet in the tears and said, my dear son, please don't hurt my heart so much. And he said, I am not your son as long as you are so poor. And off she went. Now, that afternoon, the star child went into the forest to play with his other friends, but the friends laughed at him and said, star child, you look like an ugly frog. And when he came to a little lake and looked inside the lake, he saw that his face looked like a toad. Toad in Deutsch is Kröte. Very ugly. All the beauty, all the charming, beautiful bodily features had been transformed. He looked like an ugly toad. Quack, quack, quack. And the other children, who liked him so much for his beauty and his genius, started to throw stones upon him. He became very sad and cried in the forest and then understood, maybe I'm getting my karmic reactions. I have hurt my own mother. I must go to my mother and beg forgiveness. Otherwise I cannot become, relief for my pain. It's a long story. I don't know if you have the patience to listen through it, through the whole story, so I will make it for the modern listener a little shorter. It's described how he went and suffered very much. He had no friends. Everyone did what he had done to the poor people, until finally he came to a town, and in the town he had only one idea, I must say. He left home and he had only the idea, I must find my mother and I must beg forgiveness, otherwise I cannot be absolved from this curse. So it's very movingly described how he could not find the mother. Only the trees were answering with a shrill laughter when he called the name mother, mother, mother into the forest. All right. So he came one day to a town and he had the feeling my mother could be in here. But as he was entering, the soldiers of the town took him and bound him. You are so ugly, you cannot come into our town. Our town is the town of beautiful humans. Ah. And the soldiers took him and sold him to a magician. This magician kept him in a cellar and said, tomorrow is the day. Go into the forest and bring me a piece of white gold. So that if you come back and you do not give me the piece of white gold, then I will beat you with 100 lashes from my whip, 100 Peitschenhiebe. he went into the forest, and the whole day he looked for the white piece of gold, but he didn't find it. Then he came in the evening he wanted to go home and, you know, just receive his 100 lashes. He was a slave now. But before he left the forest, he heard a little hare crying. And when he came to the hare, he saw the hare was captured in a falle, wie sagt man, in a trap. So he felt compassion, which he had never felt before, opened the trap and released the hare. And then he cried. He said, and the hare asked, "Why do you cry? You are such a noble person." "No, I'm not. In my life, I have hurt all living entities. I have killed many creatures like you, and I have even been so cruel as to hurt my mother." "Oh," said the hare, "can I do something for you?" "Yes. Well, I don't know, but I will have to return this evening to the magician. I'm bound to him by a magical spell. I'm magischer Band. I need to bring him white gold, which is supposed to lie in the forest. Can you help me?" The hare looked at him and said, "Come with me, because you have benefited me." He galloped and brought him to a piece of white gold. This gold he took and brought and wanted to go to the magician, but just before he came into the town, he saw a leper. In India, you see lepers. The leper's face was covered with a piece of cloth, and like red coals, his hungry eyes were burning underneath the cloth and between the cloth. And he said, "Please give me something to buy me some food, because otherwise I will die." The star child said, "But I only have one piece in my possession, one piece of gold." "Oh, please give me this. I'm dying and my body is full of leprosy. It is so much misery." And finally, after thinking, the star child gave him his piece of gold. The magician found him in the evening and said, "So, is my piece of gold with you?" And he said, "No, I didn't find it." "Okay," said the magician, "tomorrow you go into the forest and you bring me a piece of yellow gold. If you don't bring it, I will beat you with 102 lashes." The story really repeats himself. He goes into the forest, he cannot find it, but in the evening when he leaves the forest, he finds the hare and asks him for help, and the hare shows him the piece of gold. Now when he comes to this town, he finds the leper, who is totally hungry, and who convinces him to give him the piece of yellow gold. I don't know if you look for symbolism in the story, you will find it rich with symbolism, but maybe you find it, I'm not so sure what this does to you, this story, so I have to be a little fast. Then the third day he again sent into the forest. He's beaten severely by the magician, and he again finds a piece of gold and gives the piece of gold again to the leper. And when he does this for the third time, the doors of the town open, the people come running out and says, "You are the star child. You are the most beautiful person. You are our next king." They say to him that there is an old prophecy which tells that on this day there will be a beautiful person who looks like coming from a different world, he will come through the gates of this town, and you are this person, become our king. Now as he looks into the crowd, everyone applauds him, he sees his mother in the crowd. He understands that his face has changed already, and he looks into a mirror and sees he is again the most beautiful human being he can imagine. But then he sees his mother, whom previously he has just hurt and rejected. And he comes to his mother and says, "I'm very, very sorry. Can you forgive me?" The mother is silent. Then he sees next to the mother the leper and says, "You please speak to my mother that she forgives me." And the leper is silent. All the people look at him. Our new king is going to two beggars. What is going on? What is going on? Doesn't he want to be our next king? And he says, "No, I will not be your next king unless my mother forgives me, because I know that I have done a mistake." He begs her, and while he does it the third time, the beggar woman and the beggar man, the leper, change into the king and the queen of this town. They transform and said, "You are our child. You had to go through what you were going through because you had to learn one thing in your life. You had to learn that you must love others, not for their beauty and not for external reasons, and you had to learn to give up your selfish nature." So I really feel that in this story there is a lot of symbolism for a transcendentalist. We are also star childs. We have been we have lost our father and Lord Krishna. We are here in the material world. We are full with all types of anattas and bad propensities, and now Krishna comes to us in a form which we cannot recognize at first. Just like the star child was met by his mother, who came in the disguise of a beggar woman, the Lord also is coming to us to our lives in the disguise of the holy name. I would say 99% of the devotees cannot recognize the Lord in this form. I also cannot recognize him in this form. But the test is up on us. Can we, arrogant, foolish, downtrodden star childs who think, who are proud of all their abilities and who live their little ant-like lives, insect lives, you know, in this on this material, on this planet Earth for a few insignificant years, can we change our mentality and accept the Lord who has come in this form to us? This will be our test. It is a test of our lives, which we will need to test. Can we give up this diversion, diese Ablenkung to material things? Can we give up the idea that we are in the center of our own lives? And can we really focus on the fact that the Lord has appeared to us in the form of his holy name? It's a very difficult test for us because it requires deep spiritual maturity and an intense desire to be again connected with Krishna. In our movement, we are now going through a wonderful period where we see that so many things which we were thinking were giving security and shelter are proven to be things which need improvement, let me say it, very neutral and very positive like this. In our lives, if we look very carefully, we will see that there is a chance now to finally do what the story tells us about, is to give up the external vision and to accept the Lord really in the form in which he has chosen to come to us, which is in the form of the Holy Name. I really want to say this from the depths of my heart. I notice while I'm speaking this lecture that most probably for many it is very unconventional to hear such a type of lecture, but we are not here to give like a systematic philosophical presentation this morning. I'm also not prepared for that. My point really this morning is, can you accept Krishna? Prabhupada, he wrote once, everyone thinks we have so many problems. Woo! But we only have one problem. Can we accept Krishna? It's a chance in a lifetime. This, we have come into a movement which is meant for that. But this movement is obviously, like all tests and like everything in this world, full of diversions, ablenkungen, from this central goal of our spiritual lives. And you have to choose what type of life you will lead in this movement. Krishna. Hare Krishna. I have said what I wanted to say. Do you have any questions regarding this or any other subjects? Malati.
First of all, thank you very much for this inspiring lecture. It was very interesting. And I was wondering, when you spoke about mantra, the power and personality of mantra, there are also materialistic mantras, tantric mantras. Do they also have personality like this?
Yes, every mantra has personality. Every mantra has a rishi who gave that mantra, and a personality who is to be realized by this mantra. For instance, we know of the scholar Keshava Kashmiri, who had a mantra by which he could call Saraswati and get all types of knowledges, fields of knowledge from him. Also there are tantric mantras where certain devatas are called. This is a known spiritual thing in also in the Buddhistic tradition. They all want to recognize the personality of the mantra. This is a missing. Now, the amazing thing is that there are certain mantras which fulfill your desires according to what you want. For instance, Lord Brahma gets the Gopal mantra, and it is said by chanting this you will be able to create another creation. Do you remember in the Brahma Sanghita, the Gopal mantra also fulfills material desires, and so does the Hare Krishna mantra. When you are fixed on this, by chanting it you will get what you want. A very good example is Stephen Jobs, the multimillionaire in computers, who spent a major part of his youth in a Hare Krishna temple and got what he desired, a computer firm of, very good thing. Therefore, the scriptures say, Akama sav kama va moksha kama udaragi. If you're free with desires, if you're free from desires, if you don't want anything, in other words, or if you want moksha, you must approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you're free from material desires or if you're full with material desires. Most of us Hare Krishna people are not focused enough. Fokus ausgerichtet. I think if we would have a few more materialistic Hare Krishna people, they would really become successful in the material field. Or if we would have a few more advanced Hare Krishna people, they would really become successful in the spiritual field. But the problem of us is we are not focused enough in either way. It's a problem. Even I can see this is in my life also there. I need to really work on this, focusing on the goal. Then you will get it. Krishna. You're such normal people. Hare Krishna. Weiter machen.
Yes. So even once, some years ago, I had one devotee preaching that it's better not to chant at all than to chant offensively. So maybe you can say something about
that. Yeah. After some time, see, in the beginning, you can, in the beginning of your spiritual life, it is understood that you will chant offensively. How else can you chant? You just came from the material world. And during that time, a special compensation is given to you that you can advance even while chanting. Now, but if you keep on maintaining material attachments and not having total, complete faith in the holy name, then you will, after some time, you will not be able to get that special mercy of the holy name any longer. An older devotee is expected to give up the offenses while chanting the holy name to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, there are certainly different types of offenses. They have different gradations. When you chant, for instance, inattentively, which is an offense which will go on until you develop love for the Krishna and the holy name and chant with full taste, then you must keep on chanting. But if you commit, for instance, Vaishnav aparad, which is really the killer aparad, and this is not just some here and there, but Vaishnava aparad, then even though you chant, there is no hope really. It is expected that we give up those offenses gradually. Padma Purana explains, even if you chant with offenses, you must continue chanting, and in this way the offenses will go. But this refers really to unintentionally committed offenses, unbeabsichtigt. But if you commit offenses with full attention, with full Absicht, wie sagt man Absicht, intention, then there is really no hope for you. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says you can chant for many lifetimes and not develop the goal of love of Godhead. Now, as far as opposite effects are concerned, yes, you will develop material attachments. They will become stronger and stronger. It's a very sad chapter in our philosophy, which we do not like to delve on really so much. Wir reden da normalerweise nicht so. If it's better to just commit offenses and not chant, than to commit offenses and chant. No. I really feel the question is the intention, the Absicht. If you commit offenses without the intention to commit them, it is not as harm. It's not so harmful. We have a merciful God. But if you commit offenses while with full attention, oh, there is really not any hope. Krishna doesn't like this, and like to hear this even from such a person. I want to recommend all of you something which worked very much in my own spiritual life and which I feel therefore very confident to recommend to you. I'm in the situation that I have an initiation called sannyas initiation, and after a few years ago I really thought, what is really your spiritual advancement? And I noticed not much. And then I thought, how can I have joined this movement? I've spent now 30 years, I don't know how long, 27 years in it. Something must happen. And then I thought, how can I do, how can something happen? And I looked at many possibilities and found out the safer thing really is to increase my relationship with the Holy Name. Now, I do not know if you were ever in a situation where you found out you had a relationship to someone, but it was not very developed. Can you remember such a relationship? I have many such relationships in my life where I know many people, but the relationship is not really developed. Sometimes such relationships come into a critical phase when misunderstanding enters. And the only way really to solve this is to spend time with that person with whom you have a little, something like undeveloped relationship. Talk together, eat together, make a walk together, and so on and so forth. And then you can again put new life into this relationship. The same thing holds really true with the Holy Name. You all have a relationship to the Holy Name. You have been, in most cases, initiated into the chanting of the Holy Name. But how good is your relationship? How much do you see it is Krishna in the Holy Name? This is a question you must ask yourself. And when you find the relationship needs improvement, there's really only one thing which, or two things which you could do. The thing is, the first thing is you must chant more attentively, but also this usually does not work unless and until you decide to spend more time with the Holy Name. Just like with any relationship, you need to spend more time in the relationship. So I would recommend all of you to find a nook and a corner in your life where you can find more time. Maybe it is a pilgrimage which you can do. Maybe it is that you arrange a weekend where you are with the Holy Name, or an Ekadasi or a Jamashtami celebration. Or maybe you come to one of the 64 rounds Japa workshops which you will find announced in our ISKCON news net within the next years. You know, something you must do to increase the time which you spend with the Holy Name, to increase your relationship. That is my particular experience in my life, and it helped me very much. Please let us not be superficial Vaishnavas, be oberflächliche devotees who have a process but who don't use it, who came into the movement to find God but who have by now given up the search. You know, let us be practical. Money, good human relationships, die emotionale Ebene, and so on. You know, these things are relevant and are important for us because we need to situate ourselves in a somewhat peaceful way in this world. But what is the use of eating and then not walking? You eat and eat and eat and you don't do anything with the energy, you will just become, you know, an entry into the Guinness Book of Records, you know, the biggest weight in the universe has the weighty person. So I feel very insecure with my story here. It is a story of my childhood, and maybe I didn't tell it very good, but the point really was the star child needed to establish his relationship, in this case with his mother and his father, in the same way we need to establish our relationship with Krishna, who comes in a disguised form. The mother came as a beggar and the father as a leper, ein Lepreuse. It became clear at one stage to the child, if I don't change my attitude, then I'm ugly and I'm lost and I'm gone. So this is a simple message really. Recognize the Lord as he comes in the hidden form of the holy name, and you will and accept him like this, and you will see your face will change. Haribol. So we have come to a natural end. Oder kommst du, um eine Frage zu stellen? Du kommst, um uns deine gute Gemeinschaft zu geben. Sehr gut. Wir sind gerade ans Ende gekommen. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Go Nitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Und Gogo.